Hello, fight fans, and welcome to Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tom Zaffino, breaking down UFC 292. This is a 12-fight card, 2 5-rounders. So if you're looking to stack, if you usually stack the main and cash, you have 2 fights that you can choose from. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Lock for this card is set for 6:30 Eastern. And getting this out late, so let's jump right into it. Our first fight of the night is in the women's flyweight division. We have Marina Meraz taking on Karini Silva. This is a pretty close matchup. Meraz is very good. She works for takedown. She has a solid body lock takedown, solid grappling. But the same can be said about Karini Silva. Her hands are very good. That's the strength of her. And then her submissions as well when the fight gets to the ground. The way I kind of differentiated this fight was, despite the fact that Meraz is a good grappler, she has given up position at times to, I think, lesser grapplers than Karini Silva. So I'm rolling with Silva. There is a possibility of a finish here, but I do think this one's going to go a little long. Actually, I think it probably goes to decision. Meraz has never been finished, and it's going to be a close fight. But I like Silva here. I think she can win the position battle. She's a little bit more dangerous as a finisher, and I think she gets the job done here. Our next fight, again in the women's flyweight division, we have Natalia Silva taking on Andrea Lee. Another close fight here. Silva's a pretty big favorite. I don't think that line is correct. If you're looking to bet this fight, I am betting Silva. I do think she is going to win the fight, but if you're looking to bet it, I'm looking for the over props with Silva. I haven't seen exactly what they're going to end up being, but I like the over 1.5. Probably goes to a decision, so over 2.5 is definitely in play. But I like to bet this fight to go a little bit longer. I think it's going to be a good back and forth. And I just think Silva is just a little bit better at this point in time. She seems like she's on the uptick. And Andrea Lee, she's very good. She's pretty well-rounded. She can be wrestled. And though that's not Silva's strength, Silva does have the ability to grapple, get this fight to the ground, and get some control time on top. Again, a much more competitive fight than the odds would say. But I think Natalia Silva gets it done, and I think the fight goes long. Our next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Andre Petroski taking on Gerald Meerschaert. Petroski's a guy who has very strong wrestling. I have tried to fade him in the past because I think he gets tired. But when you really break down his fights, despite the fact that he does get tired in fights, he is able to fight through the fatigue. His wrestling remains strong, and he's very dangerous. He has good power, which could play a factor in this fight. Meerschaert, who is known for kind of pulling fights out of his ass, he is a dangerous submission fighter. He's a little bit chinny. He's definitely a little bit weathered at this point in his career. And though I do think he's dangerous, and if Petroski does tire and show any signs of weakness, Meerschaert could take advantage of that. But I think Petroski gets the job done. I wouldn't be surprised if he lands a knockout. But I think all around, Petroski, his wrestling is going to be enough to get top control and avoid the submissions. And the power's there. So I could see him finishing anywhere in this fight. I'm not sure how I want to bet it. I think inside the distance is in play for sure. But I think Petroski is the right side here. Our next fight is in the lightweight division. We have Austin Hubbard taking on Kurt Holabow. This is for the Ultimate Fighter finale. Hubbard, they both have UFC experience. Kind of mixed results for Hubbard. Holabow has had some good fights, but he has yet to find a win in the UFC. I think this is going to be a really close competitive fight. Hubbard has solid wrestling, solid kicks. Overall, pretty good, solid game, really. And Holabow, I think he can have a little bit of an advantage on the feet, but his grappling is very good as well. His submissions are good. The way I see this fight, Hubbard is mostly a decision guy. Holabow, I think, has more upside in terms of a finish. I think he's dangerous at any point in the fight. And I think he can get the job done here. I think it's going to be close. I think it's probably going to come down to a decision. Being a close matchup, I mean, we could see a split decision here. I like Holabaugh. He's a dog. I think it's a close fight. And I think it's worth a shot. Our next fight in the middleweight division, we have Dennis Tallulah taking on Gregory Rodriguez. I absolutely love Rodriguez here. I hope he takes this fight to the ground. And if he does, he more than likely finds a submission. I think he's a much better fighter than Tallulah. Tallulah is kind of on that level of Jamie Pickett, maybe just a little bit better, where I just don't think he belongs in the UFC. And I think Gregory Rodriguez, if he just comes out and fights his fight, he will show us that. So I like Rodriguez here. I think he wins inside the distance. I think he probably wins by submission. If he just comes out and fights his fight, that where he has the massive advantage, which is in the grappling, he wrestles, gets the fight to the ground, wears on him, finds a submission. Obviously, the TKO is live, ground and pound TKO, stuff like that. But I like Gregory Rodriguez in the inside the distance, and I feel very confident with that. We stay in the middleweight division with Brad Tavares taking on Chris Weidman. At this point, I don't think either guy is very good. I was leaning Chris Weidman just because I think he does have the ability to force the wrestling, and that could be enough to win the fight. But he's coming off a two-year layoff. He snapped his leg in his last fight, gruesome injury. Honestly, he hadn't looked good in recent fights leading up to that. His previous win was against Amari Akhmedov. Pretty ugly fight. He looked kind of slow on the feet. And he was able to get the takedowns late in round three, which got the job done for him. But again, that we're talking over 3 years ago at this point. And Brad Tavares has good takedown defense. I think Weidman can still take him down. And that would, you know, if Weidman is able to take him down and hold him down, he can win this fight. But I don't think he's going to have enough control. I don't think he's going to be able to. I think the visual might be bad, and that's a huge factor here. Weidman shooting for takedowns, looking tired, as he did in his previous fight against Akhmedov. Not always a good sign. So if he doesn't have absolute success in the control, I think Tavares gets the job done. Tavares is a better striker at this point. I just think he's a little bit faster. He's older as well, kind of a journeyman in the UFC. But I think with the long layoff, Weidman looking a little bit sluggish in previous fights, I just think it's too much. I want to go with Chris Weidman here, but I just can't do it. I like Brad Tavares. I like the fight to go over 1.5. I think the fight's going to go long because Weidman's most likely going to be looking for takedowns a lot. So could get to a decision, but I like Brad Tavares over 1.5 rounds. We now move on to the second Ultimate Fighter finale with, in the bantamweight division, Brad Katona taking on Cody Gibson. I love Katona in this spot. I think if all things were equal, and they are not, and I'll explain that in a minute, I think Katona wins the fight anyway. I think he's the better overall fighter, solid grappling game, just very well-rounded. But Cody Gibson's coming into this one with an injury. He had a torn MCL on the show. So with not that much time to do anything, obviously couldn't have surgery or anything like that. Can't imagine that knee has been in great shape for training camp. So there's a big advantage here with Katona coming in. Well, with Gibson coming in with an injury. I think Katona overall the better fighter. But this is one of those fights where, I mean, hopefully we don't see something like this, but we could see a weird injury as the fight goes on. Obviously, we know Gibson's hurt. Katona is a strong grappler. Katona knows about the injury. It just feels like this is a Katona spot, and he should roll in this one. And this would be his second stint as the Ultimate Fighter champion. We move on to what should be a very fun fight. In the bantamweight division, we have Pedro Munhoz taking on Marlon Chito Vera. This fight should be competitive, as if you've listened to any talk on this fight, you'll probably know that Marlon Vera tends to be a slow starter, tends to lose the first round. That's not necessarily the greatest thing when you're fighting a guy like Pedro Munhoz. Obviously, Vera has come on late in fights a lot, and it's worked out for him. I think this fight's going to be extremely competitive. I actually think Vera will start faster in this one, but I think it seems to me like Munhoz is just a little bit cleaner all around. He doesn't have the raw power that Cheeto has, but neither guy is really at risk of being knocked out. Obviously, anybody can be knocked out, and these guys can knock anybody out at any time. But I think this fight's going to be extremely close, competitive. I like the fact that Munhoz is always going forward. Like I said, he's never been finished, so he's extremely durable. Close competitive fight. Munhoz is the dog here. I think he's the side. There's props out there for the fight to end in a split decision, which is more than live. That was plus 350 as of last night. So if you just wanted to bet this fight without picking a side, you could throw a little bit on the split decision, which is something I will probably be doing. But I do think Pedro Munhoz gets the job done. I think the fight goes long, obviously. And the volume, I just feel like the volume is just going to be on his side a little bit more. His defense is very good. He's tough to hit. His counters are great. So, and if he, not that he's a wrestler, but he does have the ability to wrestle a little bit. If he does decide to take Vera down, obviously there's risk with submissions because Vera does have nice submissions, but he has been held down. That's kind of been a path for a lot of guys to beat him. So I think Munhoz could maybe wrestle a little bit, maybe even late in rounds. But I think this is a very close fight. This is one of those fights where I could see it going either way, and I don't have a problem being on the underdog in this one. He's Pedro Munhoz. I've picked a lot of much worse underdogs in my life. Munhoz is always live. Good fighter all around. Great fight. It's going to be a fun fight, but I like the dog here. I like Munhoz. Our next fight is in the bantamweight division, and if you have been listening to this podcast or following along, you'll recognize Damon Blackshear, who's taking on Mauricio Batista. Blackshear fought last week, so this is 7 days apart from fights. He looked great last week, and he got a submission pretty early, so he didn't really take any damage in that fight. Obviously, taking on a much, much tougher opponent in this one, Mauricio Batista. I like Batista here. I like the way he rips the body with his strikes. He's very clean. He's dangerous. His submission game is dangerous. I think, again, this is going to be a competitive fight. Blackshear definitely live as an underdog. If you're looking for kind of a sneaky, well, I guess I don't know if I'd say sneaky, but if you're looking for a dog to sprinkle in to your 20 max or 150 max on DK, Damon Blackshear is definitely a guy that is live. I think it's going to be a lot of back and forth grappling, so you're going to see some transitions. I think both guys could score pretty well in this fight. But overall, I think Batista, I just think he's just a little bit ahead of Blackshear at this point. And of course, you know, Blackshear looked great last week, and he is still taking this fight on short notice. Totally different opponent than what he faced before. Much, much tougher opponent. So I think Batista gets the job done in a close competitive fight. But I think Batista is the side in this one. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Ian Garry taking on Neil Magny. I like Ian Garry a lot in this spot. His number is huge. Not really sure how I want to bet him. I definitely feel like he's a good parlay piece. And Magny coming in on relatively short notice. So either way, it doesn't matter. I don't think the short notice matters. I think Ian Garry at this point is a level above Neil Magny. Magny's going to look to clinch, going to try to make this fight ugly. But I think this is where we see how good Ian Gary's grappling is, and I do believe it's very good. So I think when Magny tries to put him up against the cage, it's not going to go well. Gary's going to win position. Gary can out-wrestle him. I just think Ian Gary is levels above Neil Magny at this point. Magny's wins of recent have not been pretty. Doesn't put up a lot of volume. Looks to clinch. Win the clinch battle against the cage. Just not too much. He's a veteran. He's tough. He's a tough out. He's obviously going to come to look at, to make a point against Ian Gary, who has all the hype right now. But I just don't see it. I like Gary as a parlay piece. I do kind of like him inside the distance, although this fight could... This is one of those fights where I could see Gary smoking him out in the first round or just grinding on him and winning a decision. But I think either way, Gary's going to be leading the charge. So, again, I like him as a parlay piece. And I think Inside the Distance is live, but I don't know how much I'm gonna go there. Just stay tuned, I guess. Follow me on Twitter, all that good stuff. See what I do there. But I like Ian Gary to win, and I think he's a good parlay piece. That brings us to our co-main event. We have the title fight in the women's strawweight division. We have Wei Li Zhang taking on Amanda Lemos. Another fun, competitive fight. Lemos is extremely dangerous early in this fight. But overall, I think the cardio, the overall skill level, it all favors Wei Li. Wei Li's extremely strong, good grappling, dangerous striker. She has it all. We've seen her in five-round wars, and we've seen her dominate fights early, taking her opponents down, just beating them up, knocking them out. Very good. Wei Li is extremely good, extremely talented, strong, well-rounded fighter, and I think she gets the job done here. I could see a submission happening, especially as Lemos gets a little bit tired. Obviously, the risk here is the early knockout or, you know, early something big happening with Lemos, you know, rocking her, you know, maybe find a sneaky submission or something like that. But I think Wei Li, she's been through the wars. She's had these title fights. She's had ups. She's had downs. Not a lot of downs, but, you know, she's been through it. She knows what to expect. And I think this is a good spot for Wei Li. Again, I think the sub is live. Inside the Distance is live. I think Wei Li gets the job done. And I think there's a chance that she reigns for a little while atop this division. It'll be interesting to see what comes along if Tatiana Suarez stays in the flyweight or the strawweight division, or if she moves up to flyweight and stays there. But I think as of right now, Wei Li is the class of the division, and she's gonna be champ for a little while. That brings us to the main event. We have the bantamweight title on the line. Aljamain Sterling, the defending champ, against Sean O'Malley. This seems like a spot where Aljo is able to get O'Malley down and find a submission. The wrestling is just on another level. We saw, obviously, O'Malley win his last fight against Petr Yan by decision. I thought Yan won that fight, and you go back and watch it, and I thought Yan took over in the third round, out-grappled him. But which, either way, doesn't matter. The decision went the way the decision went. I've seen worse decisions in my life. O'Malley did very good in that fight. He landed some big shots. Definitely shocked everybody. And the decision is what it is. But what I take away from that fight is in round three, he's getting out-grappled. And I think against a better grappler in Aljo, it's going to be hard for him to go five rounds. You know, obviously the knockouts there, the biggest thing that I fear in this fight for Aljo is that knee. Sean O'Malley is very tall, long, very good knees. And, you know, O'Malley's always dipping for takedown, so there's the risk of a knockout there. But overall, obviously Aljo, I think I said O'Malley's dipping. Aljo's dipping for takedowns. Overall, I mean, obviously Aljo knows, stay away from the knees. He's probably going to work more body lock type takedowns, I would assume, to try to avoid that risk. And just keep pushing the pace, and I think eventually he gets O'Malley out of there. O'Malley is definitely live in this one, but I think Aljo's overall skill set is going to be enough, and he's going to get the job done. Good chance he finds a submission in this one, but either way, Aljo should reign here, and we'll see what happens in the future, but it sounds like he's going to vacate the title and move up, or at least go for double champ status. But Aljo should get the job done here. The grappling should be enough to get it done, and that's it. So there we go. 12 fights broken down. Kind of rushed this one. Got it out, getting it out late. I'm out of town this weekend, so not my regular schedule is just a little bit different right now, but I will have my plays on Twitter at TommyZ_MMA. They will be on Instagram and TikTok as well. So follow along to see any updates or any changes that I may make. As always, I will be on the KegCast, which is on YouTube. Basically just a live watch along where multiple guys, very, very high level bettors, putting out live plays, talking about the fights, talking about the card. That starts at 3. I won't be on that early because I will be at a golf tournament, but that's going to be, they'll be doing the Xfinity race on there. So if you're looking to bet some NASCAR, tune into that. But that's it. That's where you can find me. If you have any questions for me, you know, DM me. I always like to go back and forth talking fights. But until next time, good luck on Saturday.